This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Brown's going to be getting some PSLs. Is it PSL time? First off, I got another question. Daryl Ryder joins us right now, brought to you by Shabin Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys.
Daryl, do you know who sings this song?
No.
Well, I guess you're just not in tune with Cleveland, are you?
I guess. Who?
He's so mad.
He's so mad already.
He is so annoyed with me.
If we played the lyrics, Daryl, would it help you?
Probably not, but try me.
Life is complicated when you count this payroll. Yeah, girl, I wanna see.
Yep, nope, nothing drawn a blank. I'm not hip.
That is our number two overall pick, Shedeur Sanders.
Oh, okay.
Oh, he changed his tune all of a sudden, didn't he? Oh,
I'm downloading it now.
Oh, no, okay, yeah. I can see that.
I hope he plays quarterback better.
Wow. Daryl, I actually thought that was a pretty decent song. And when we draft him, I'm going to play this for him. And you're going to be in his bad graces. That's how we do this.
I'm just having a little fun with it.
I know you are. Daryl, it's good to talk to you, my friend. I know that you were busy all this week, and we missed you. And we're going to be nice, and hopefully we'll take the gloves off a little bit later on. Daryl, the stadium stuff, we'll start with the stadium stuff, and then we'll get to... Because honestly, I think our fans, I think they care about the PSL thing, yeah. And then it's like, all right, who's number two? Who's what's Myles Garrett going to do? I think they care about that because it's like, this is still a project that's 4 years off. So let's start with the PSLs. Will there be... I know that David... Jenkins talked to the media yesterday. Do you believe that there's going to be PSLs for the new stadium?
I do. I think that that's something, as Jenkins mentioned yesterday, that they're still working through as far as what their model would look like. That's not to say it's absolutely going to happen, but it's something that internally I know they have been debating two things. One, should they do PSLs? And then two, if they do PSLs, what does that particular model look like? They are, they're cognizant of the expense that obviously comes with that. They're very well aware of the reaction that Buffalo Bills fans have had to PSLs for their new $2 billion stadium that's going to be opening here in a couple of years that's under construction next to their current one. So, I'd love to have an answer for you there, Ken, but I don't because, well, the Browns don't have one.
Are they using maybe the Bills as a canary in the coal mine? Because I know that there's been a lot of Bills fans that have been very angry as they see that other stadium going up right next to, I always want to call it Rich Stadium, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The new stadium's going up. And they're going, these PSLs, I mean, we're hearing some ungodly numbers, but then I'm reading all this stuff about how there's a list of people that are more than willing to get these PSLs if these people don't want these PSLs.
Yeah, you know, the cost range for those PSLs go from anywhere a couple thousand dollars per seat upwards of $20,000 per seat, depending on the location within the stadium. The dome that the Browns are proposing to build, it's going to be a 65,000-seat building for football with 2,500 seats of standing room only. So obviously not seats, but, you know, 2,500 capacity additional for standing room only. So 67,500 for football. They can expand it for up to 75,000 for major concerts. They can break it down to 7,000. For other events in the building. So, the seats are supposed to be the closest of any in the National Football League. The new Dog Pound is kind of their version of the wall that the Los Angeles Clippers built in their new arena. It's a 35 degree pitch going up to bring the fans closer in to the action. They're putting the visiting tunnel next to the Dog Pound so that they can, I guess, you know, create some sort of home field advantage there, intimidate teams as they come into the building or whatever for games. But I don't think the design's the problem. I certainly don't think the location's the problem. I think it's, you know, fans are concerned about ticket prices. They're concerned about the PSLs like you're asking about. And obviously they're concerned about what the taxpayer contribution to the project looks like.
All right, Darryl, I saw the pie chart that you tweeted yesterday from the Browns about the divide, just who's going to be paying for this. The Browns are putting up $1.2 billion. First of all, I'll ask you, is that enough? Is that in line with what you're seeing elsewhere around the league?
Yeah, I mean, these stadium projects used to be 100% financed public. The current stadium had almost an 80% public financing. The NFL kicked in some money, but once the Lerners were awarded the franchise, they kicked in some money to make some changes to it. But, now the recent models are 50-50 split or a 40-60 split with the public handling the 60%. The reason I kind of feel like the 50-50 is reasonable is for a project of this size is because the Browns are doing a mixed-use development with it, and that's another $1 billion on top of it. And the Browns, or I should say the Haslam Sports Group, who owns the Browns, along with their development partners, they're covering the cost of that. So this is actually a $3.4 billion project in which the Haslam Sports Group is investing $2.2 billion, plus they're responsible for project cost overruns.
So you like this deal. You've taken some heat I've seen on social media.
Yeah. I think it's fair. I think it's reasonable. How you get to the public portion of covering the $1.2 billion, that's pretty hairy. But I think that what they have come up with is pretty reasonable. They're going to ask for a 1% hotel bed tax increase and a rental car tax surcharge, I guess, is what they're calling it. Those two things mostly impact visitors from out of town. There were a couple of things that they pointed out yesterday they found interesting. 70% of the fans come from outside the city of Cleveland. For those that are like, they have to be downtown no matter what. That's where Browns fans are. And they're saying, well, no, not really. Most of the fans come from outside the city of Cleveland here. Big events, they mentioned yesterday, I guess last year, and again, this is according to the Haslam Sports Group, there were 8 major concert tours. Detroit got 7 of them. We only got 1. If this building is constructed and it opens, it would be the furthest east dome, I guess, in the United States. If you don't include the roof that they're putting over Jacksonville's dome here in a couple years, or Jacksonville's stadium here in a couple of years. The state has come out with a plan, which I don't think is going to go through the way it's currently written that the governor came up with. But it would solve statewide the stadium construction problem, at least from a state contribution standpoint, because it's not just the Browns that want to do a stadium. The Bengals are trying to do a $1.2 billion renovation. You've got the Cincinnati Reds. We know what the Guardians are going through right now. So it would cover major and minor league teams, as well as set aside some money for parents and youth sports programs and things like that by using sports gaming tax revenue, by doubling that tax 20% to make it 40%, and Ohio would become one of the highest taxed sports gaming states in the country. New York is at 51%, I believe, and there's a couple other states that are in that ballpark, but I don't think that particular plan is going to get through the state legislature as the governor proposed. And the governor even put in there, and this is something that I think really made the Haslams very happy, is you can request up to 40% of the project as long as you have 60% of it secured. You can also request for mixed-use development money, not only for by your stadium or within a 10-mile radius of your stadium, but next to your practice facility. And what are the Cleveland Browns doing? They're doing a mixed-use development also next to their practice facility. So, and that fund can be used for that, and that is independent of the general fund, which is what the Guardians dipped into to get money for the Progressive Field renovation. So the governor tried to come up with something that, as he put it in his words, solves the state stadium funding puzzle while not impacting the state general fund.
Well, Daryl, you had a chance to talk with them yesterday along with other reporters, and how sensitive do you think they were to the public's reaction to a plan like this? I mean, the emission tax, right, by my calculation, 116% increase in emission tax. That's just the tax to get into events. Okay, so that's going to go up.
Yeah, it goes, you know, from, I think it's it's 3%, I should say, in Brook Park right now, and they're proposing it go up to 6%.
Yeah, I mean, 6.5. Yeah. And that's enormous. Not to mention the taxes that are going to be there for parking, the Browns are already going to be benefiting big time on the parking right now. They're not necessarily.
Right. Look, the folks using the building are the ones being taxed. Mm-hmm. And look, again, I understand, you know, ticket prices, it will probably go up. We've talked about the possibility of PSL. So, you certainly understand the concern that Browns fans have, but the Browns, what they're trying to do or what they have tried to do with their proposal is not impact general funds for the community. They're trying to keep the complex sort of self-funded from a tax perspective outside of what I mentioned earlier, the 1% bed tax, which on average, let's say a hotel room is $150, it's $1.50. I think they said about a $6 charge per day on a rental car. Again, most of the people impacted by that are going to be visitors from out of town. And we've seen that model around the country when you're talking about taxes to support stadiums. One thing that they did point out is that there are a lot of stadium projects where they just got flat out grants from state and municipalities that came from the general fund. And, you know, they mentioned like cities like Baltimore's renovation project that has done that. Jacksonville, the Buffalo Bills Stadium, the massive amount of money they got from the state of New York came from the general fund. And what the Browns have tried to do with their proposal is say, yes, we are asking for taxpayer assistance, but we're asking that the tax revenues generated by the complex are what is used to pay off the bonds. And according to the Browns' math, over 30 years, the state takes home $1.3 billion after paying off the debt service, and the city of Brook Park and Cuyahoga County would split over $2.1 billion over 30 years in excess revenue that can be used to cover capital repairs and other projects within the county. And again, that's assuming that their revenue figures are on the nose, because again, those are numbers that they are providing.
Who are the Browns going to take it? Or excuse me, are the Browns going to take a quarterback at number two? Mary Kay said yes.
I am saying I hope not.
What do you believe they're going to do?
I don't think they will.
Why?
Oh, no.
Dissension against Mary Kay. I'm going to text her.
I have all the love and respect in the world for Mary Kay. No dissension, no shade, no nothing.
Nope, that's not what she's going to hear when I tell her.
My take is that Andrew Berry works very quietly. And so when there's a lot of Shedeur Sanders buzz coming out of that building, I take it with a grain of salt, because that's not how Andrew Berry works. I firmly believe that they are not going to take a quarterback. They're going to do their homework. They're going to meet, all that stuff. And it's newsworthy, and it's all part of the pre-draft process. But there's a lot of Shedeur Sanders buzz connected to the Cleveland Browns right now, and I'm listening to it, but I'm not believing it right now.
Why don't you like Shedeur Sanders, Daryl?
From everything I hear, he's a wonderful young man, and he's quite the musician, as we heard earlier.
Somebody actually texted me a couple weeks ago, said that there's people who believe he's a headache.
I don't. Is it because of his dad?
I don't know. No, they say outside of his father.
Oh.
And they go, I don't know why you like this guy. Daryl, don't shoot the messenger. I got the text. I'm sorry.
I'm not. By all accounts, he's a pretty good kid off the field. Certainly, he commands a lot of attention because of his dad and his family and whatnot. But, I just don't think that these quarterbacks are worthy of the first and second pick in the draft. That's my thing. Mm. Is a year ago, they're at best second round picks. At best.
Yeah, well, Joe Burrow, probably, what was he? What was Joe Burrow before he came out? Because he could have came out. He could have went in the draft. There would be no reason, but what would have Joe Burrow been?
Well, I mean, hindsight being 2020, Joe Burrow would be the number one pick in the draft.
Yeah, there you go, hindsight.
So I have reservations about both of these quarterbacks from the on the field thing. It's nothing personal against either one of them. I've got reservations right now, and as Kevin Stefanski would say, I reserve the right to change my mind between now and April. I don't know that my mind is going to change, but it's the time of year where you listen to everything, but you can't believe a lot of it because the Browns don't tip their hand.
Well, then I'm going to harass you until you change your mind.
I'm sure you will.
I'm just kidding. Daryl, we love you. We thank you very much for the time. It's good to talk to you again.
Have a great weekend, guys.
Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You guys are sick and going straight to hell.
Why?
Do I want to tell? It's a Friday. I can tell them what you guys were yelling about. Lima is still dealing with the loss of Milo.
And this is how we deal with it.
Owen shows me pictures. It started with the Cheese Tack song. And then Owen shows me pictures of his brand new dog. Lima goes, it's already a third into the way into his tomb. Then Owen starts yelling at him about dead Milo.
Yeah,
and
at least my dog's alive.
That's what happens.
There was talk of a sarcophagus in a backyard.
You sick people. Mitch, put the Cheese Tack song into the
system. Yeah, you got to put that into the system.
If Shiloh Sanders re-records the Cheese, or I'm sorry, Shedeur Sanders.
It's over. Yeah. No, I'll draft Shiloh Sanders if he does the Cheese Tack song. Yeah. He is not invited to the combine, by the way. Shiloh Sanders.
Okay, what is this I heard about Travis Hunter? They're only allowing him to work out at one position?
Glad you brought this up. The NFL is having him work out as a corner for the combine.
And was he willing to do whatever?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
He's going to do O-line drills.
I only saw.
I can play all the positions.
I only saw the uh, the initial report from Schefter. That's all I saw of it. Yeah, he's going to work out as a corner. I think that people need to have that thought of, what are you going to do with Travis Hunter? You know, do you make him a wide receiver? Do you make him a corner? Because you got to figure out, playing 120 snaps in college football is very impressive. Playing 120 snaps in professional football, it could be that way. It seems to be a lot. Like, you kind of got to pick an alley and play a little bit on the other side. And honestly, I was going to think, if you're going to play every down, you can play every down as a corner and then have a package of offense for him. But if you give him to the wrong, excuse me, if he's chosen by the wrong team.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You got to trust that coaching staff, because you could get a guy lost very quickly. You know, if you are a jack of all trades, are you a master of none? Like, you want to top it? Because if you were getting the draft, like, people go, well, you got to take Travis Hunter. And I go, well, you don't have to take Travis Hunter at 2. And the question is why? And I have to steal this point from you, but you go right on ahead and tell everybody.
Well, it's just that I don't think he's the best at either necessarily. Yeah, or he's not so far ahead at either position. I mean,
exactly.
Just receiver-wise, he was not the best receiver in college football this year.
No, would take Ted McMillan if you were going to take a
Jeremiah Smith
wide receiver.
Was probably the best wide receiver, but there were others
that
were
better. He can't come out for another 2 years.
I know.
Some in the media think he could come out today, but...
So all of a sudden, are you taking...
He's technically not allowed, everybody.
We keep hearing people talk about value, and the afternoon show keeps saying, well, Shador Sanders is someone you should get way later in the first round, not second pick. Fine, if you're talking value. But Travis Hunter, if he ends up being a wide receiver, which is where Todd McShay says he would use him, other guys may disagree. But if you're taking a receiver who may not be the best receiver in the draft and you're taking him at 2 overall?
Mm-hmm.
Well, guys, that makes no sense.
Well, CBS has him ranked, by the way.
Agree on that?
Yes, CBS has him ranked as the number 4 wide receiver.
Oof, yeah.
I'm not sure what they would have him. And that's just CBS. I mean, there's ups and downs, and I'm not sure where Dane has him.
Yeah.
I didn't see right off the top.
Now, what about a corner? What corner is he?
I think in some he's ranked.
I've seen him one in some.
He's no, because no? I would put Will Johnson ahead of
and
him.
And I see Will
but
Johnson.
But I'm a Michigan guy, according to you people, yeah. He might be 2 or 3.
Okay, so that's the problem.
To someone.
To
he's a Heisman Trophy winner, for crying out
to
loud.
To validate number 2 overall, he has to play both sides. Now, is there a chance, devil's advocate here, is there a chance that more guys are capable of doing this over the years than we really think? Like, Troy Brown is the famous example of somebody who did it on a Super Bowl team, like, but it was limited.
Yeah, man, it wasn't
and
all
it was
the time.
Corner, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, it like, was not what you would draft a guy number
and
2.
It was
you
in 2002.
You wouldn't draft Troy Brown at number 2
like
overall.
Deion tells the story about Bill Musgrave. And in the Super Bowl, Billy calls him Billy. They're close friends. And Bill Musgrave is the quarterback coach of your Cleveland Browns. But let me tell you this. In the highlight, did he start the game at wide receiver? Did they throw a ring? I'm not sure. I gotta go back and see the George Seifert game plan. Because Bill Musgrave gets to throw passes. He's throwing a bomb to Deion Sanders. Well, is Deion Sanders just in garbage time as a wide receiver? Because in the biggest game of your lives, you would probably put him in the position that everybody knows him for, which is cornerback. And then maybe if things got out of hand, which they did get out of hand, okay, fine. Again, that's 30 years ago. I have to go back and brush up on that Super Bowl against the Chargers that barely anybody was watching at the end of it. It's a hard thing to do, and it's a hard thing to put on anybody. That's why he was such a story coming out of high school, because first off, he was going to go to Florida State. Then he ended up going with Deion to Jackson State. And then it was, okay, you can do that in the SWAC. Can you do that in the Big 12, which is still a P4 conference? And the answer is, well, yeah, he was able to do that. He's a fantastic athlete. But I still think he's the exception, a tremendous exception at that. But you have to, I could see him maybe falling a little bit because there could be some questions of what they want to do with him. There could be pull and tug. Like, he'll still be top 10, maybe top 5 by the time it's all said and done. He's a tremendous athlete. From what I know, he's a good person. So I think that he'll be able to pass all those questions. I know people bring up his girlfriend. I'm going to leave his girlfriend out of it, all right? That's what I'm going to do. But you got to figure out what you're going to do with him, because you kind of got to go one more way than the other. But you should certainly, if you take him, like if the Browns were to take him, like say they trade down to 4, 5, whatever, and they took him. It's probably smart to have a package of plays for him on offense, is it not? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you could use him as a decoy, or you could just say, you know what? Leroy Jenkins, we're going to throw it right to him. Let's see where it goes.
Here's what I hate, Ken. Like, if you take him and let's say you were going to make him a full time corner and then use him in the packages on offense, kind of like you're talking about, then if the defense struggles at all, it's going to be, do we need all 11 guys that are dialed in to the defensive room and the game plan and all those personnel? Do we need them to be all in 24/7 on playing defense? Like, that's going to be the first. Then you're going to be talking about a new coordinator, and then how does that
but
new coordinator feel about him playing offense and defense?
And that's why I would want him mostly in a cornerback room, because it's like, hey, can you? And there's more to being a wide receiver than what a lot of people make it out to be. There's such a thing as reading a defense, which I was only taught a couple of years ago because I'm like, hey, man, I'm missing on these wide receivers. I need some help. So you end up calling people who would know about these things. It's like, well, these are things that you guys aren't paying attention to that you need to pay attention to. And when I found out just what goes into being a wide receiver, it's a little bit more involved. So you don't want to throw too much at a rookie when you're bringing them into your franchise, which you're trying to get restarted. Because by the time the draft comes around, you may not have 95 with you anymore. So then you're really earnestly trying to get something going here. Now, I still say, let's see where it goes, drag it out. But you gotta put him in the best position possible, because you're going to have to get ready for life with some rookies. And we've been talking quarterback like crazy, but you're going to have to get ready with Travis Hunter there. I want to get to this guy here on the phone, 216-474-0092. We just had Daryl on, And we asked him about PSLs. Joe in Seven Hills. Hello, Joe.
Good morning, guys.
Morning to you.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
Yeah, I like your subject.
Thank you.
The subject I want to actually address my season ticket rep, which was I am a carryover from Municipal Stadium and the Dog Pound. Still have my season tickets in the Dog Pound at the current stadium. But we never had to pay a PSL. Only the Dog Pound carryovers didn't have to go through all that. And I want to kind of know, which probably I won't be able to get an answer for a while, thanks to Daryl. But are we going to be given PSLs? Are we going to have a Dog Pound, which Daryl answered? Thanks for that. But I'm not expecting to have a PSL on my bill when that time comes. And on top of it, I mean, I'm on a string about wanting to up on my season tickets. It's a hassle. Mm. And I really don't care much for Barry. Secondly, with him, I don't even trust the pick that he's going to make this year. I don't even trust him to make the pick on Mr. Irrelative, which we have this year. But
there's a lot. I mean, you're dealing with a lot of emotions right there, Joe. I don't know about the Dog Pound. I imagine there. I don't know anything. And Joe, thank you very much for the call. I don't know if there's going to be.
They have not had a definitive plan on PSLs, but we brought it up because Dave Jenkins did say that seems like PSLs are the way that the rest of the NFL is going with these new stadiums.
I would be paying attention to the Bills situation. That's as good as I could give it. But here's Dave Jenkins on it.
I think it's fair to acknowledge that PSLs and those sorts of things are common components of stadium projects today, but we're just not far enough along to have clear answers on those yet.
So go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, doesn't it seem to you that in the year 2025, as connected as fans are via social media, don't PSLs seem like a pretty easy thing to defeat? PSLs go away if the fans just refuse to pay them. If season ticket holders all got together and they you want to call it unionized, organized, whatever it is, if they all got together and said, we're not going to pay them, we're all handshake agreement. Because
I don't know the recourse.
The threat is going to be, well, if you don't pay the PSL, someone else is going to steal your tickets that you've had in your family for 50 years. Well, what if all the fans get together and say, we are not going to do this?
Well,
the PSLs go bye-bye.
The only thing I know is that the Bills keep saying that they got... No, I haven't seen it. So for all I know, that could just be an empty thing to say. I have no idea. But they keep saying that we got this list of people that if you don't want the PSL, they'll get the PSL. And that's in Buffalo, New York, which is a smaller city than ours.
Sometimes he's tough-talking.
The guy has had worse Januaries than the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. Now, they might get a pardon.
Sometimes he's truth-telling.
Because if we lose the Browns and the parade, I can already predict Mayor Bibb's future. It starts with Al and ends with Paca.
But he's never tone-deaf.
What the hell are we doing?
Setting the tone here for what's to come over the weekend?
I'm just telling you right now, you better be dialed in.
It's time for Setting the Tone.
Oh, Kenny, I've looked forward to this one. And again, this could be the last one. This could be the last one we ever do.
You got to stop with that, with those threats.
I sometimes these take time.
Empty.
I don't have Bill Maher's writing staff. I don't have 20 people helping me out on these.
If Sarah would help you.
That didn't go well last week. So we'll see. I am very excited, Kenny, because it is the convergence of two things that matter so much in my life.
And what's that?
Live from the land. We're talking Sunday night. Now that the worst football season of my life has mercifully come to an end, we don't have the Browns to kick around anymore. But how about another failing, rudderless franchise where the glory years seem to be a distant memory? And who also sadly employed G.E. Smith to pump up the fans. We're, of course, talking about Saturday Night Live, which on Sunday will commemorate 50 years of TV, chock full of 20 years of amazing TV. And just like the Browns, the laughs seem to come and go, with people asking, when are things finally going to get turned around? Now, while we rely on a Californian to make all our big decisions on the 101, SNL has a Canadian, Lorne Michaels, and the only tax we've been paying for this import has been 7 painful seasons of Bo and Yang. But I will always give Saturday Night Live its due, as it was an instrumental part of my formative years. This was a steadying influence on my life that was always there for me on Saturday nights, unlike certain family members. This was a show that did it all for me. With the church lady, it gave me religion. With the McLaughlin group, it gave me politics.
Wrong! Eleanor, I think you're Swellinor.
Do the last one.
Oh, I got more.
Pat Buchanan.
Patty, Patty, Buke, Buke.
With Bill Swirsky's...
Pat Buchananomics. Check your mom.
With Bill Swirsky's super fans, it gave me sports. Although if I wanted delusional football fans in costume, I'd go down to the Muni lot at 6 a.m. and hang out with Bone Lady and Macho Fan. Notice, I didn't say the warehouse district, which thanks to the city of Cleveland has less energy than an actual warehouse. And less of a scene on Sundays than the men's warehouse, for that matter.
The state of our city is strong, and we're just getting started.
Special K with Banana.
And now, there are really so many similarities when you think about it between my two weekend passions, the Browns and Saturday Night Live. On Saturdays, it's me losing it, watching a van down by the river. On Sundays, it's my team losing it near the Cuyahoga River. On Saturdays, it's sweaty balls. On Sundays, it's shoddy play calls. On Saturdays, it's massive head wound Harry. On Sundays, it's plenty of head wounds that are scary. On Saturdays, it's please don't destroy. On Sundays, it's geez, we're getting destroyed. On Saturdays, it's a Debbie Downer skit. On Sundays, it's our bad quarterback suffering a Debbie Downer hit. On Saturdays, it's more cowbell. On Sundays, it's wow, this is more Browns hell. On Saturdays, it's colon blow. On Sundays, it's our quarterback doing blow. And on Monday and on Tuesday.
That was the old one.
And on Wednesday.
That wasn't anyone recent.
And on Thursday and every day.
That's a long time ago. Multiple quarterbacks ago.
Just seemed memorable, that's all. Now, if I may take a moment to honor what I absolutely loved about SNL for so many years, it had to be the weekend update. You know, they mix in news and politics and culture. Now, if I were to power rank my favorite anchors with a nod to Kevin Nealon's Mr. Subliminal character, they would go as follows. Number one, Dennis Miller, radical right winger. Number two, Seth Meyers, left wing loon. Number three, Norm MacDonald, mostly when he did OJ jokes. Colin Quinn, couldn't read a cue card. Jimmy Fallon, Ken thinks he stinks, it isn't funny.
Terrible.
Tina Fey, your Sarah Palin got real old real fast. And Colin Jost and Michael Che, 10 years of fairly solid racist jokes aimed at each other.
Where's Norm MacDonald at?
I had him. I said, tells a bunch of good OJ jokes.
But who was the best?
Number one for me was Dennis Miller.
You guessed it. Frank Stallone.
Now, what I'm looking forward to the most. Norm MacDonald was probably the best for some people. What I was looking forward to the most for this special is how they'll incorporate the musical guests. Will Kendrick Lamar be back performing in flare jeans he borrowed from my wife's high school closet? Will Kanye West be there to pull off a shocking stunt? And will his wife show up in roughly the same amount of clothing David Njoku does a press conference in? And note to Kanye, he should probably issue a correction on a previous tweet of his regarding Hitler. You do not, under any circumstances, gotta hand it to him. Now, I do expect show icons Paul McCartney and Paul Simon to give a special performance. And then most likely, Dave Grohl will shoehorn his way into a self-serving comeback tour. And since, unfortunately, Sinead O'Connor is no longer with us, perhaps in a fun twist, the Pope will come out and replicate an all-time subversive show moment and tear up a photo of another former SNL host.
The Tone Master General tells it like he sees it.
All right, are you going to watch this on Sunday night, Kenny? Did I?
Is that the end of Setting the Tone?
That's the end. Is this going to get you excited? I talked about it on the Emerging Podcast.
Yeah, why not?
I did tell you, I think there is one individual in particular that has to be there on Sunday night, somebody they've had a relationship with for damn near 30 years.
Who?
President Trump has to be at this.
Oh, you said that during the podcast. That's right. Thank you. Sorry.
This is going to be like the biggest ticket. Every celebrity wants to be on the show, and every celebrity wants to perform.
That's not the conspiracy that's afoot, by the way. I had something else, but yeah. That would sure as hell be something.
They've had eight different characters do Trump over the years, cast members. They've had eight different do Trump. They've been talking about Donald Trump for so long, I think he's got to be on this show. Now, would he do it? He'd probably say no.
He's not going to because he's got to go to the Daytona 500. And I'm not going to be watching SNL 50 because I'm going to be watching the Daytona 500, the 65th running of the Great American Race.
Now, what time does that start?
It's supposed to start at 2:30, but it's going to start at like 4:45, and it's going to rain, and I'm going to be mad.
Is he doing the green flag or the gentleman start your engines?
We'll probably do the... He might be the... Well, that's the Grand Marshal, right?
Grand Marshal,
to start engines. And then they did... The last time he was there, he did the lap around the track in the Beast.
Yeah. Were you surprised, by the way, when we found out this was the first ever Super Bowl that a president attended?
I was really shocked.
That doesn't even seem
I didn't understand
possible.
That. Richard Nixon was a huge football fan. He tried to give Don Shula plays.
I think this
Harrison
was
Ford, he was watching the college football game on
this
the plane.
This was a security thing in the past.
Yeah, I could understand that. I mean, Gerald Ford played football.
At Michigan.
Yeah.
That doesn't make him my favorite president.
Of course Ken knows it.
I just was surprised.
Ronald Reagan was the Gipper. I like Notre Dame.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Go ahead, make your jokes. Make your Reagan jokes.
In a real game?
Does SNL's 50th anniversary, does it start with a musical performance or a sketch?
Sketch.
Church Lady?
Oh, God, what would they start with? Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. Eddie, he was there.
What's the neighborhood?
Mr. Robinson's.
That's it.
Okay.
You got to start with Eddie. Because he's the most biggest controversial one with Lorne, the whole deal.
What are they going to do with Chevy Chase, who is just now universally hated by everybody?
I don't know what to do with him. I don't know what to do with Chevy Chase. That's a sad one right there. I love Chevy Chase. Bill Murray? Can they do something with Bill Murray?
Yeah, oh, he's
100%. Well, he did his cocktail singer last time.
I got a better conspiracy theory.
Go.
SNL 50, Andy Kaufman comes back.
People think he's not dead.
Andy Kaufman comes back. SNL 50. It would blow the doors off the world.
Oh, it would be one of the best. He's been waiting
and he reads
all these years.
He reads the JFK files. My head would explode like scanners.
Boom. Mic drop.
Sorry. There are people texting me. Friends, not anybody, you know.
So your friends are nobodies.
Well, I'm just saying, you know what, that did sound bad. Not like a source or anything like that, because I did say to Daryl earlier, I did say somebody who is a coach feels that Shador is a headache. There is conspiracy afoot, and this does have a little bit to it, or you have to consider it. A lot. Deion's going back to coach of Colorado. We all know that this year. But we keep saying, well, you know, the season, who knows? And it's like, well, if they get off on the wrong foot, say they win like six games, but Shador looks good, could they make a move to head coach position? Because there's some people like, well, wouldn't they just get Deion? It's like, yeah, it would be a conversation.
Wait, that is a conversation, all right.
He could go back to Colorado, which he is, win six games, and go, this is for the birds. I'm going to go coach my son. Bye. That's something I hate to put it out there in the ether like that, but that's something you have to think about. And that's going to scare a hell of a lot of people more than push them more towards Shador Sanders. See, I would like to take the guy. We've talked about this, but I have to consider all the options. I'm just trying to be fair and right down the middle.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.